welcome to episode 97 of
Brutal Battle.
Oh, is that a Scottish type accent?
Sure, let's go with that. With
okay,
my,
yeah.
With my flowing red locks.
How about it is whatever it sounded like most to each individual listener?
We can just do it whatever that country Game of Thrones is from. How about that?
Well, it's from Westeros. It's its own thing.
No clue.
Anyway, if people couldn't tell, it's Dan Kim. He is back.
Hey, guys.
On the patented Brutal Battle couch. Dan and I actually worked together. I don't know if I said that when he was on last, which was not too many episodes ago.
I think it was like 93?
Yes, somewhere in there. 93, 94. Yeah, 92 and 93, actually, I believe.
Okay.
So, we work together, and I, you know, I don't know about you, but some days it's just like you're slogging through your work. Mm-hmm. But when I do these episodes, like when there are episodes to record at the end of a work day, I get pretty amped up for these things. It gets me through the day, you know.
Right. Well, well, they recently moved us into cubicles.
Yeah, it's a cube farm.
And so, if I didn't feel isolated before, I definitely feel isolated now. So it's nice to have some sort of social interaction.
And it's one of those things where you stand up and you look over the cubicle wall and it just looks like there's nobody there.
Right.
But you know there are people there. It's weird.
It looks so much like Office Space that it's amusing until that you realize that that's your reality.
Yeah. And the other great thing is you can talk right through those cubicle walls because they're not very thick.
Yeah, they appear soundproof, and yet they are not at all. They seem to be the opposite of soundproof. They seem to be sound enhancing.
Yeah, basically. Well, it is time for the hop knowledge. Today's hop is Pacific Gem, which is not really one I've heard before. I've heard of Pacific Jade before, but never Pacific Gem. So Pacific Gem comes from the breeding program at New Zealand Horticultural Research Center. In 1987, this triploid hop variety, I don't even know what the hell triploid is, but we'll go with it, was released. It's a cross between smooth cone, Californian late cluster, and Fuggle hops. The flavor that it gives beer is usually tones of oak and wood. Pacific Gem hops has a decent, its oils are balanced, jeez, I'm all over this one, its oils are balanced, it's highly flavored for aromatic qualities. The bouquet is fruity and closely resembles blackberries, sounds good. Huh. Although it's considered mainly for bittering, Pacific Gem is used in all sorts of capacities, and it's mainly just grown in New Zealand, which apparently is a pretty easy place for hops to grow because there are less diseases.
Well, New Zealand kind of was, wasn't it that New Zealand became popular for hops because their harvesting season is opposite of ours, and also they were having less problems with disease than Washington and Oregon?
That sounds accurate. Yeah, I do know that I've read that they have less problems with diseases for hops.
Right.
Than the United States does, so.
You know, when you first said it was called Pacific, I was like, maybe it's Japanese, because I know that Japan does some hop stuff, too. But, you know, I just totally, then I was like, maybe it's Japan, maybe it's, you know, West Coast America, then I totally forgot that Australia was a place.
Australia is a place, and
the continent, yeah. Not the country.
So, two examples of Pacific Gem beers. Organic IPA by Butte Creek Brewing.
Never heard of it.
Me neither. Same with the second one. Experiment IPA by Flying Dodo Brewing.
Oh, good. Another flying
flying something or other. I think that's actually a pretty cool name, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it was saying oak and wood and blackberries. That sounds,
yeah.
You know, a lot of sours and a lot of barrel-aged beers have... You
I'd
know,
say at least worth checking out.
Yeah, I mean, if it imparts a barrel flavor without the cost and time of imparting, of actually putting it in a barrel, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's not, like, real intense, but, you know. So when Dan showed up, he was gracious enough to bring a warm-up beer. I always like it when people bring gifts. I can't turn those down.
I am gracious.
He is. He's also humble. So, Dan, why don't you go ahead and tell us what we're sipping on here.
So we have a founder's beer called Dirty Bastard. It's a Scotch ale, and I bought it slightly over a year ago, and I guess we were looking at the date code, and it's about 15 months old. And I remember when I had it fresh, it was really harsh, and just it was just I was just. It was the alcohol burn was the main flavor I was getting.
Yeah, and the alcohol on this is, what, 8.5. Right. So it shouldn't be, like, too crazy.
Right.
It's been at least a year and a half since I've had a Dirty Bastard, and when I had it fresh. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I remember enjoying it, but my relationship with Scotch-style beers, pretty contentious. Sometimes I really like it, and sometimes I really hate it, so... I don't know.
Well, I had this about 2 months ago, and it had mellowed significantly, and it was, you know, it had sweetness and all of the good parts of alcohol without the bite of alcohol, you know, not necessarily scotch, but definitely like, you know, like a whiskiness to it. I mean, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It smells great.
Yeah, no, so it's got, like, your typical, like, reddish hue to it. I can't see through it. It doesn't look like it's all that filtered. Or maybe it is filtered. It's just, like, real dark. But it's, like, a dark red. The head is a little bit of, like, a tannish, reddish head.
Mm-hmm.
It smells very, like, like, it's going to be real viscous. It's, like, very deep, dark notes, like, kind of figgy dates. Raisins.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting also caramel and butterscotch.
Yes. I'm also getting those and a little bit of cat pee smell.
Really?
Yeah, it smells
Let me go back.
A little bit like cat pee on the end, which typically is something you'll get with like certain types of hops. So when you get like extremely hoppy like IPA or Imperial IPA. So I'm kind of interested as to why there's kind of like a cat pee smell in this.
You know, I always wondered like, you know, isn't cat pee, doesn't that, don't people say that cat pee smells like ammonia or something like
that? Yeah, yeah. So cat pee's kind of ammonia.
So why don't they just say, isn't ammonia a more familiar smell than cat pee to people?
Well, I think cat pee's more interesting to say. And I think probably more, well, I don't know. I was going to say probably more people know the smell of cat pee than ammonia, but then again, I'm not really sure about that.
I don't know.
I would hope that's not actually the case, because if that's the case, then it means... there's a cat peeing all over your stuff.
Right.
And that's not
good. It's so funny how, like, sometimes when you name a smell or a flavor that it just totally... once you have a name for it, it just totally changes your perception of that smell or flavor. I remember, like, my brother-in-law, he tried mangoes for the first time, and he is like, oh, it kind of tastes like a carrot. And it ruined mangoes for me, because I was like, oh, it does taste like a carrot, but like a funky sweet carrot. And it ruined, like, every single time I taste mangoes now, it's just like, I can't think of anything other than carrots. And it like kind of ruined the experience for me.
I mean, it makes sense. Did we mention that this is a 15-month-aged Dirty Bastard?
I think we mentioned, but we didn't really dwell on it.
Yeah, so it's 15-month-aged, so not fresh, so we'll see. I actually already took a sip of it. Dan, since you brought it, I want you to go ahead and take the lead on what kind of flavors you think you're getting out of it.
Wow, it's, well, all of the smells we were getting, it definitely tastes like what it smells.
Yes.
And much more intensely. So, that caramel, that raisin.
Yeah.
Butterscotch still.
Yep. The main things that do hit me are the three that you said. The raisin, the butterscotch, and the caramel.
And the alcohol is very much on the back end, but it's, it is there, but it's pretty nicely integrated.
Yeah. I like it. It's got a bit of an earthiness on the finish, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving it maybe like a little bit, and maybe this is where the kind of the caramel's also playing around with it, a little bit of kind of a woody characteristic to it.
Yeah.
Like you would get with some barrel-aged beers, which... you know, sometimes wood does impart, like, a caramel note. So, this is good. I mean, I don't 100% remember what Dirty Bastard tasted like fresh, but I remember liking it, and I like this. So, maybe it's close, maybe it's... I mean, you would have a better idea.
Well, I just remember when I tried it, and I bought it in November. So, I guess I bought it when it was 3 or 4 months old. When I bought it... so, when I had it fresh at 3 and 4 months old, I just remember it just being very harsh. Like the alcohol had a real bite on it, and it just seemed like I was getting malt sweetness and harsh alcohol, and that was the only thing I could taste, and I didn't enjoy it at all. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
It does seem to me, from what I do, little bit I do remember, that the alcohol is dialed back. Like, it is less harsh. It's a little more, like you were saying, it's more on the back end of the flavor, and it's not, like, it doesn't really punch you in your tongue. It's, I like it. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
So we will continue to sip on this. We're going to do a few episodes, so we'll probably just sip on it as we feel necessary throughout multiple episodes. So thank you very much for bringing this. It's always nice to have something to sip on.
And I'll bet it'll get better as it warms, too. So.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It will. So I had a topic I wanted to talk about real quick, a little bit of news. I don't know if you know and if a lot of listeners know, but Port Brewing and Lost Abbey, those two breweries in California are under the same, I think they're out of San Marcos, they're under the same roof, basically.
Okay.
Like, they're owned by the same entity, and so they're technically two separate brands, two separate breweries, but they're owned by the same people, and I'm pretty sure they're under the same roof. So, there is that. But they are coming up now with a third brewery to be an offshoot of this ownership. So, from Port Brewing and the Lost Abbey will now be the Hop Concept Brewing.
That's the name of the brewery?
It is the Hop Concept Brewing. And apparently it's supposed to come out in 2015 is when they're going to start with this. And they're really going to focus on beers that will be hop, like simple hoppy beers. They're saying that it's going to be the Hop Freshener series is what they're calling it. Kind of dumb to say the Hop Freshener. Maybe like the Hop Freshness or something might be a little better.
Freshener sounds like as if they're
an air freshener.
They're adding freshness to some already existing thing, which is impossible.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting how this article I found is written about it. It says, a quarterly series of IPAs, the Hop Freshener series will take a different approach to telling a story about beer. It simply won't tell a story at all. The beer itself is the story, and the names are the flavors and aromas of the beer. So they're kind of taking a page from the book of, like, 6 Point, that they don't actually, like, tell you what the style, although they're telling you in this article up front what the style is going to be, but 6 Point mainly identifies in other ways.
Right.
You know, they'll put identifiers of flavor, and then they'll create a name around it. So the series is going to include a release in February called Dank and Sticky. In May, there will be one called Citrus and Piney. In August, there's one that will be called Lemon and Grassy. And November will be the final installment with Tropical and Juicy.
So are these, those are all recognizable flavor notes from other beers that we know and love.
Mm-hmm.
Are these going to be like seasonal? Or are they going to be...
They're going to be very limited release.
Okay, so after this run of releases are done, after this run of releases are done, is Hop Freshness going away? Is it just kind of a one-time thing? Or is it going to be like a from now on standing company?
It doesn't say that it's going to, you know, just be like run the course of 2015 and then be done, but I don't know. I think it's like a kind of wait and see what's going to happen with it thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think if they're taking the time to create like a whole nother named brewery, that they're going to try to continue to keep it going. But I think they're going to need to see what the interest level is there. You know, like if they're not getting enough people, then maybe they just nix it after 2015.
I mean, one reason to create the third company was just to attract people like you, you know, tickers who want to try things.
Try everything, yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess it's legit as long as they have separate people brewing separate recipes, you know, then that's a legitimate thing, you know. That we see that happen all the time. Frito-Lay owns 80% of the chip market or something like that, and yet they have, it's not just one kind of chip under one company. It's when you go to the store, it appears as if there's 14 different chip companies.
Yes.
When they're all actually falling under the same roof. But they're brand differentiated. They all have their own, brand marketing with their own graphics and flavors and stuff like that. So that's legit. That's a thing that happens.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It is. And one of the things that they said in the article is that they're kind of doing this as a way to play around with hop combinations.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just kind of trying to, like, get, see what works really well. So I don't know if they're just going to do these small batches mm-hmm. throughout the year and then see what is most popular. And then maybe the next year, keep the ones that were really popular and then the other ones that maybe they think didn't work out so much, get rid of those and try some new ones. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or maybe they'll just keep them all and then they'll expand to releases in other months on top of that. Because they're not hitting every month in there. It's like once a quarter.
Right. Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, I'd be interested to try it. I wonder if the naming conventions are using... It seems freeing now, but I wonder if it'll actually be limiting later. Because, if you have another beer that's also dank and sticky, but also different, you've already used that name.
That's true. Or maybe they just call it Dank and Sticky IPA number 2. or call it Danker and Stickier or something to that effect. You know what I mean? Like
slightly more dicky, dank, but less sticky and also a tiny bit grassy.
Well, you could do a lot of different plays on it. You could say, like, the son of Dank and Sticky or grandfather of Dank and Sticky, I don't know. You can figure out ways to make it work, but yeah, it can be a little rough, I feel like.
Well, as long as they're not doing hop puns on every single beer name they do.
Right, right.
There's so many hop puns out there.
There are a ridiculous amount of hop puns out there. I did like them in the beginning, like when I heard like Hoptimus Prime and like Hopocalypse and Hoptical Illusion, things like that, but it's kind of getting a little out of control, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that ship sailed.
Yeah. Why don't we just come up with a totally non-hop related name for an IPA and we'll call it done.
Or the kids can just come up with a new slang for hop and then we can just blow that one in the water.
Yeah, we could do that, definitely. Well, I thought that was an interesting article to bring up. I don't know, like I said, how many people knew in the first place that Port Brewing and the Lost Abbey were, one and the same, basically.
Right, and it might be a way of, people in that company, if they want to be more experimental or something, maybe that's a way for them to do it. And we see other breweries doing that too. Coors Light has the whatever company that the Blue Moon series comes under.
Right.
That's a separate place where those guys are allowed to play more. The Lips of Faith series is a place that... What is that? Is that...
New Belgium.
Yeah.
But it still has New Belgium all in it.
Right. But it's their place to experiment and do wacky things, Yeah.
I guess one of the potential positives in them creating yet another brewery is if things really don't work out with all those beers and people really hate it, well, it's not sullying the name, really, of Port Brewing or Lost Abbey. Because it's not under those names, so most people wouldn't associate it with those breweries. So they can kind of easily shut it down, and they wouldn't have any negative impact with their brands that are already succeeding.
Right, and if for some reason any one of those three brands goes down, those same people can just move over to the other side of the building, keep their jobs, and they can just kind of let that brand die, and they won't have lost anything in reality.
Yeah, so maybe this is just a safer way to play around.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? It'll be interesting. I would like to try to get some of that beer, but I have a feeling that since the article did say it's going to be pretty limited, that I will never see any of those beers.
Well, they are on the opposite side of the country from us.
Yeah, but I do have a way of getting my hands on things. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that comes through. All right, well, it's that time. Let's go ahead and talk about these mystery beers in front of us. A is kind of hazy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Very yellowish, has a little bit of an orangish tint to it, but pretty yellow nonetheless.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It's hazy. I mean, I can see through it, but it's still hazy, which is interesting. It's got a little bit of a white head to it as well. So you're already smelling it. So are you smelling anything interesting off the bat?
I smell orange and grass.
Oh my god, yeah. It's got a little bit of like a... I'm getting a little bit of like a funky nose to it as well.
Maybe a little bit of that cat pee we were talking about before.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, that grass is real. It's really grassy.
Yeah, it's very grassy. It's very citrusy on the nose. But yeah, there is a little bit of like a funk to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little dank, you know, a little bit of that kind of like dank skunkiness on the end. That's what I was trying to get to.
Yeah, it could be, maybe it's a shading in IPA, but it might even be a little bit like a Saison. I don't know. We'll have to wait.
Let's see. Get like tangerine and grass and
right.
A little dank skunk.
More like orange peel, not orange juice.
I don't know. I'm getting a decent amount of, like, juice in there. Smelling. It smells good. It's got a little bit of, like, a sugary sweetness on the end of the nose for me as well. That I'm actually finding pretty appealing. Smelling a little bit like a more citrusy, juiced-up version of, like, Fruit Stripe gum. Something like that.
Yeah, maybe also, like, a little hay, too.
Yeah. Slight bit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow, yeah. Very, like, it is, like, orange peely on the mouth. Yeah. Orange peely. There is a little bit of a kind of hay-type finish on the flavor.
Yeah, and it has some of the... It has the hop profile of a lot of West Coast IPAs.
It does.
But it's not punch you in the face at all.
Mm-mm.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it's got a little bit of that kind of like bitter skunky finish to it. It's interesting because when it first hits my palate, it hits me with like a citrus juice.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of like tangerine juice, orange juicy, and then that really quickly goes to like a bitter peel, citrus peel flavor, and then I feel like then it kind of comes in with that kind of like skunky bitter finish.
Yeah, it definitely finishes bitter, but you know, I'm enjoying the bitter finish actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the more I have it, I mean, my first sip of it was good, and the more I have it, the more I'm kind of seeing this as because the bitterness was a little bit offensive to me in the beginning, but the more I'm sipping on it, that's becoming less and less, in my opinion.
Yeah,
very good.
What is that phrase? It's a feature, not a bug.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty good.
I'm enjoying it.
And I'm getting a little bit of kind of like a sweet note in there, too. Like I was saying, you know,
mm-hmm.
like a citrused up, fruit striped gum-ish.
Right. And I
quality.
Think that the bitterness, it reminds me of a citrus pith, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, in balance, it's, you know, when it's overdone can be bad. But here it's just enough to be, you know, act as a counterweight.
I agree. I mean, that's a strong start here.
Yeah.
I would say.
I'm glad to drink it.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get to B. B actually looks like a much clearer version of that Dirty Bastard. It's very reddish in coloration, like a brownish red.
Yes.
But there's no haze. I mean, it's dark beer, but it's so clear.
It's
like
very
it's
clear.
Very filtered.
Right.
Got a little bit of like a reddish tannish head.
Yeah, almost.
On the top.
Yeah. Almost, I could even see purple in there a little bit.
kind of looks like a cherry, you know?
Yeah.
Like the color. Smell that.
Oh.
Smell a little bit of, like, pencil shavings, which is kind of odd to me.
It smells a little bit like a brown ale.
I don't know, I'm smelling like a little, kind of some cherry notes in there.
Hmm.
Like, it not only looks like a cherry, but I'm smelling, like, not super tart, but like a tad tart cherry, like fresh cherry smell. Raisiny notes to it. Smells a little bit like chalk, too. I get some chalk notes, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, I was, maybe like a mineral...
Yeah, like a minute. Yeah, chalk's like very mineral-y I was having a hard time with that one. It's minerally, it's interesting. Yeah, I did say chalk, but I do think kind of just saying more like mineral, kind of like basic, is maybe probably also, more fair.
Do you smell wood?
Yes. A little woody. And I think that's, you know, like when I was saying pencil shavings.
Oh,
okay. I think that kind of plays in the same realm, but...
Wood sounds so much better than pencil shavings.
It does. Let's go with wood then. We'll call it wood and, well, actually, erase pencil shavings on there.
We were saying chalky and minerally, as in lead, and then wood, as in the wood. So maybe pencil shavings isn't exactly.
It's just like a liquid pencil. Where is the eraser in this?
But more like a number three pencil and not a number two pencil.
Certainly not a mechanical pencil.
Of course not.
Why don't you try that? I'm getting that kind of like dark cherry flavor, in my opinion. I'm getting that minerally finish that we were getting on the nose. I'm getting a little bit of that kind of woody characteristic as well. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm getting a tad bit of like a caramelly note peeking through on it as well.
Right. It does have sweetness, but it's not overly so.
No. This is, I wouldn't say this is like a great beer in my opinion, but this is a definite drinkable beer in my opinion.
It's hard for me to pick out the flavor, and yet I keep on taking bigger and bigger sips because I'm trying to figure it out. I could imagine myself accidentally downing this whole thing.
I know. Which is why it's going to be interesting to find out what the alcohol content is, because I could see this being an instance where it's a higher alcohol content, like somewhere around 8 or 9, but it's just hidden very well.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to guess, I would say 7, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was higher. But yeah.
I feel like I'm getting a lot of like residual cherry flavor on my tongue. But it's, I don't know, it's weird to me because it's kind of an in-between cherry where it's between, like, real cherry flavor and kind of, like, a synthetic, like, cherry cough medicine type flavor.
Oh. I wasn't getting... You mean, like, cough syrup?
Yeah. Like, cherry flavor cough syrup. Like, Robitussin. Oh. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not, like, straight up like that. It's kind of like a mix of that and real cherry. So it's kind of in the middle, but...
I gotta be honest with you, Carlin. I'm really liking this. This is good.
I mean, it's not bad. This is definitely a beer that it's really weird because there aren't any like crazy bold flavors in it that are just like, man, there's that one flavor that's just phenomenal. But for some reason, you just want to keep drinking it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. I think. I mean, for me, that cherry note, I have to really pick it out. I think it's sandwiched and enveloped very nicely, you know, between the malt profile with the malt sweetness, and then also it kind of has a slight bitterness, and then right between those two things is that kind of dark fruit note we were talking about. And this is packaged very well, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, watch, it'll be like a scotch ale. Watch it be something like that, watch. This is interesting. I went back to A and tasted that, and the bitter finish on A is a little harder to handle now because of B. And I think one of the things that we're liking about B is that it leaves your palate relatively neutral. It kind of feels like it's preparing your palate and not leaving crazy flavors on it. So it's preparing it for your next sip of whatever you're going
to
have.
Yeah, I went back to A, and I still like A also. I don't think that B is adversely affecting A and for me.
I mean, I like them both, but I'm just saying, after having B and then going to A, that bitterness in A is bothering me a little bit. But the flavors, I mean, like those citrusy flavors are really nice. That dank flavor in A is really nice. Right. I mean,
and then that hay cat pee thing that we were talking about, I think that's doing very well. That grass is shining nicely. Carly, these are two good beers.
Yeah, I know. This is, God, this is hard for me right now, I feel like. Do you want to go first on one of the ratings? And because I think I know kind of where I want to put these, but I don't. It's kind of rough.
Well, I have a solid score for B, and then I'm debating between two scores for A.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay. If you'd help me out and go first, because I'm trying to. God, I'm still thinking.
Well, I'll go for B because that's the one I'm definitive on. Mm-hmm. I like B quite a bit.
It is
I'm gonna give B a 5.
Okay. You know, it's funny because I was thinking about going the same.
Yeah.
I was between a 4 and a 5 on B, and I took another sip while you were talking of B, and I was like, as you were saying 5, I was like, yeah, that's a 5.
You know, it's just, it's really drinkable, which is a feature that I really, I value.
Yeah.
Drinkability is something I value. You know, sometimes you get a beer that those are really interesting, but you couldn't drink more than a third of.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, what am I going to do with that?
But a lot of, and the thing is, a lot of the beers that are, quote, drinkable are kind of watery.
Right.
And this is not.
No,
it's This is not. A pretty full-bodied beer.
This is a hefty beer with good body and good alcohol bite.
Yeah.
And it's still downing very easily and well.
And maybe I'm, too easily.
Yeah, and I mean...
Maybe too easily.
You know, and sometimes you get that thing where the first sip is much different than the 14th sip. But this is the more I drink it, the more it's very consistent and it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
So this is a good beer, and I'm very happy to call it a 5 beer.
Okay. Yeah. And I went 5 along with you, so it's a 5 overall. Do you know what you want to give A, or would you like me to take the lead on A?
Well, I was debating between a 4 and a 5 on A.
Same here. Yes. And that's the thing. Like, my biggest debate the whole time was, should I give these two the same number, or should I give B slightly higher than A? And I think I've come to my conclusion, if you want me to go first or...
Yeah, why don't you go first?
Okay. I am going to go a 4 on A. I did decide that I think that... B is a little bit better than A.
Well, then I'm going to go a 5 because it to me they are the my enjoyment of the two beers is pretty close to equal, and I'm glad that by making it a 5 that the scores will be closer to each other because I do feel like these two beers are good beers.
Yeah.
Which doesn't always happen, you know. Sometimes you pick out a beer that you have high hopes for,
and it's just, terrible.
And it just does not deliver from even from breweries that you respect and like.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm gonna enjoy continuing to sip on these, but in the meantime, barely, but A loses.
Right.
Overall 4.5 and B with an overall 5. So, I'll go ahead and reveal A first. A with an overall of 4.5 is Schlafly's Tasmanian IPA. It's a special release. This is a beer I've talked about really liking in the past, which I think is with Galaxy Hops. In the past, it has been with Galaxy Hops. I don't know if it is now, but it doesn't say on the bottle. 7.2% alcohol by volume. Tastes about right, in my opinion.
You know, I know that people, that Schlafly has a good reputation, but in my experience, I've tried maybe like 4 different beers from Schlafly, and I just didn't think much of any of them. So
really?
The fact that, yeah, but maybe I was just getting bad bottles.
But you're down with this beer.
But I do enjoy this one. So I'm glad to get on the Schlafly bandwagon if they're going to be making beers like
it
this.
It is a good beer, and this is one that I've liked for the past 2 years. So... It's a solid beer.
And you're saying this is a special release?
Yes. They do it once a year. It's a once-a-year deal. I think this one was from October. So, relatively fresh. Relatively.
Now, what does Tasmanian mean?
I think that's where the Galaxy hops are from. It's a hop reference, like the region that the hops are from.
So. Is that, like, Australia?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So, yep. Australia, New Zealand comes back in the episode again.
Boom, you're right. And let's see if B is a Scotch ale then, because that would be funny since we had the Dirty Bastard. B, the winner of the episode with an overall 5, just eking past that Schlafly, is... it is a Flying Dog beer. It's one of their brew house rarities. It's their Doppelbock.
It's a Doppelbock.
It is a Doppelbock.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Typically, I get, like, some banana chip type qualities out of Doppelbocks, but I did not get that out of this. 8.3% alcohol by volume on that one.
And sometimes I feel like Doppelbocks can be too sweet for my palate.
Right.
But that, I did not feel that way with this beer. Now, aren't Doppelbocks lagers?
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
I think they are.
You could be right.
I'll have to feel foolish in several minutes.
But. Yeah, one of us will do some research at some point. But
I mean, okay, so I thought that it was, I thought Doppelbocks were lagers. And I always have trouble tasting yeast. So when people say they taste different yeast strains or like ales versus lager, I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Like, I can't taste it. So.
Well, like Pilsner yeast, so you can sometimes, you know, taste Belgian yeast. You can taste specific notes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, like Brettanomyces, which is a souring yeast, you can definitely.
Yeah. I can taste the difference. I just don't attribute it to the yeast. I guess that's
you're more in the mindset of like malts and hops.
I always think that flavor comes from malts and hops, and I forget that yeast has also a flavor. Even it's like my head and my tongue don't have the same mind.
Yeah. Cool. Well, this has been a good episode. We had three good beers, including the warm up with the Dirty Bastard. So awesome, everybody. Stick around for the next episode next week, because Dan will be back and we'll be doing an interesting warm-up tasting.
I can tell you, I already know what the interesting warm-up tasting is, and I am so excited.
I'm pretty excited too, actually, because it's a beer I haven't had in a while. About a year since I had it. So, anyway, thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you, Dan, for joining for this episode.
Glad to be here, and we left him on a cliffhanger, so that's nice.
Yeah, I do like cliffhangers. So it's the perfect time to say thank you so much, and keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.